The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
Turn in the Bible with me to the book of Zechariah. I want to go to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. We began last week in this exact same text. And you should get, how many of you were here last Sunday? Let me see your hand. And so if you weren't here, you need the other part of this message, which was last week. It will greatly encourage you. I believe that. But I want to share today again from Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. I'll begin reading with verse 17. Again, proclaim saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. My cities, the cities of Israel, will spread out, notice that, through prosperity. A Bible word. The Lord will again comfort Zion. He will again choose Jerusalem. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four carpenters or craftsmen. The King James says carpenters. And I said, who are these coming to do? What are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift their head. But the craftsmen or the carpenters are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. It's really something when you read these verses and you see what's happening in Israel, even as we're speaking. Same ancient spirits trying to scatter and destroy. But this is one of the powerful insights and visions that Zechariah had. And it starts out as soon as God spoke prosperity over the nation and over the city of Jerusalem, which is a type of the church, and over Judah, which is the righteous seed, a type of the Christians, the believer. God spoke prosperity to the nation. And as soon as God did that, instantly, the prophet saw in a vision four horns of resistance arise. Horns are always symbolic of unbridled power. And in this case, it's satanic power with two objectives. Number one, to scatter Israel, to divide families, to divide people, and to decimate. And then secondly, so that to so depress and discourage and defeat that no man could lift up his head. In other words, they're only focused on where they are. They don't have a vision. They don't know where they're going because they're so defeated. The four horns were coming to stop Israel from being born and being rebuilt after Babylonian captivity, from spreading out. God was prospering them, but these four horns came to keep them down and to cause them to look down and not see with faith the future. I saw four horns of power come against God's people. These four principalities, these four demon spirits assigned to the people of God to keep their heads down, to oppress, to depress, to defeat, and listen carefully, to stop from spreading out. When I read that, the spreading out part, I thought about go into all the world and preach the gospel, the spreading out. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is not something that I read somewhere. I'm sharing this with you because it is what I have seen God do in this church. We had to confront these four horns that I'm going to talk about. And whether you're building a business or building a family or building a career or building a dream or building a church, you will encounter the resistance, especially if it's something God has put in your heart to build. And that's why it talks about the spirit of the carpenter. Four carpenters came to the rescue when they were under attack. Because the carpenter has got to come and help. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. And the prosperity, the scripture said, was given to spread abroad. Spread abroad the nations. And let's say, spread abroad the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you think of the word prosperity, don't just think of money. But I want you to think of a prosperous marriage, a prosperous career, a prosperous family, prosperous work and dreams. God wants His people to be productive and fruitful. And He said, I've decreed prosperity, a breaking forth, a spreading out, a breakthrough, a spreading abroad to do more, to grow more, to expand more. And Jesus, the Son of the Carpenter, is part of that under the new covenant. And I believe the four horns are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm sending today and I'm coming today in the spirit of the carpenter to talk to you from my heart. Just when the horns were pressing them down, Jesus Christ and the spirit of the carpenters showed up to rebuild the nation, rebuild the homes and the families, rebuild what was once great that had been demolished. And today I feel the spirit of the carpenter. And I'm going to tell you some personal stories, and I'm going to tell you some things that I believe God wants you to hear at this strategic moment in your life, in a terrible economy, in a war-torn world, in dangers in every community, and shootings just down the road a few days ago in Winder, Georgia, a tragedy. We're living in perilous times, and the enemy wants our head down. He doesn't want the church spreading abroad the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what happened to us as a ministry and how we encountered the four horns. The first horn I want to liken and call the spirit of lack. Because if you're going to build something, sooner or later you will come in conflict with the spirit of lack. We have to do our work. We have to do our part. We have to be excellent at what we do. But as soon as you start to lift up your head and God gives you a vision, I know it happened to me when I came here, and Charisse, when we came here, I was 28 years old when I became pastor of this church, and Charisse is 7 years younger than me. And we were really kids. We did not know what we were doing. We just had a vision. We just had a dream for this church called Free Chapel. It felt right. It lived up to its name. It felt free. And it felt like something, God had a special assignment on this place. And I remember those days. I remember pulling up into the parking lot on Brownsbridge Road of that building. And I also know that as soon as we started growing, the spirit of lack began to challenge the vision that God had given me and the leadership for this church. To keep us in the same place, to keep us on the same level. The spirit of lack can even attach itself to families, and for generation after generation, they never break out. They never get out from under the horn that causes the family to stay down. It backs people down. This is the level that you are to stay at. It's what the spirit of lack says. you are never going to do anymore. You're going to have a lack of joy all of your life, a lack of love in your marriage, a lack of confidence, a lack of peace. It's very real, and it can develop a mentality in you that just when God was, I think about it now. I didn't think about it like that then, but when we started, if I would have allowed the spirit of lack to stop us from spreading out, we would not be reaching the people that God has graced us to reach for His glory. It's so important. It will cause you to change your vision. And the enemy will say, nothing's ever going to change. Stay where you are. And when the spirit of lack is messing with you, it doesn't even cross your mind for something better. You just start settling, and the enemy has you looking down because you don't believe that you could do it. And the big question that comes sooner or later to building anything is, but I don't have enough. It's a spirit of lack. And I'll never forget one thing that really happened to me. We were building this sanctuary. The church began to grow. It was incredible. The ministry began to grow. And we were in the building on Browns Bridge Road, and we could not contain the people. God helped us. It was miraculous. And then we bought the property and built the sanctuary down the street. And we had gotten into the sanctuary, and it filled up, and God helped us. But I'll tell you another story about that in a minute. But we had reached a point where our television ministry had been going for 10 years. And we'd had a miracle birth with our television ministry. For those of you who are so many new people, you've never heard these stories. But there was an evangelist who came through, and instead of taking up an offering for his ministry after he preached, real quick, this is what he did. He just took up an offering, and he said, the Lord told me that this church is supposed to be on TV. And that was when we were in the old building. And he took up an offering. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. The people gave so much that we bought 3 cameras and we went on TV locally right here in this area every night, which is kind of crazy. That's a lot of taping. And for 10 years, our television ministry struggled. And for 10 years, it was in the red. And for 10 years, it bumped along. It had downs and highs and lows, and it was no consistency. It was always a challenge. I wanted to quit so many times. And you know why? The spirit of lack kept saying, it's not doing anything. Nobody's going to help you. You're not going to be able to sustain this. And so we had bought this property that we're on, the 150 acres that we're on now, and we were building this sanctuary, this building right here, and the beams were up, and some of the pouring was up, the cement slab here in Gainesville, for those of you who are joining us at all of our campuses, the slab was all that we had in here. And I walked into the other building where there's a little studio. You could call it a studio. It's just a room with a high. We didn't have a lot of money to do that when you're doing a $24 million building program right here. And we had paid that building off, and we were wise. We knew we could afford it and had all the financing. But just hear me a minute. So I walked into the studio over there, which is a little room, and I sat down, and at the time we had equipment that was 10 years old. Every camera. And there was duct tape everywhere I looked. They didn't know. We were just getting ready to turn the cameras on, and I was going to do some in and outs for some TV shows. And I'm sitting there, and I look, and I see duct tape on this camera. I see duct tape on that cable. I see duct tape on that machine. I see duct tape on a tripod holding the camera. And then I look, and the TV director guy, the guy who did everything, because he had to do everything. We didn't have much of a staff. We had a lot of volunteers. And he had a big roll of duct tape on his belt that he had clicked on to his belt. And I looked, and the lights had duct tape. Everything had duct tape that I was looking at. And if something went wrong during, and it did many times, if something broke down, we just lost camera three. He would say, he became a professional duct taper. He'd whip that duct tape out and get that cable on, and we'd get, oh, there it is. We got it back. Let's go. Let's keep going. And I sat there on that little pitiful little rigged up little set that we had done ourselves. And I said, I was sitting there just noticing, and they were busy getting everything ready. And it felt like I heard the Lord say, do you know what kind of faith you have? You have duct tape faith. That's why you see so duct tape here, duct tape there, duct tape everywhere. I felt like old McDonald. Duct tape was all over the place. And it just hit me wrong that day. And the Lord kind of impressed me, you know, you don't even see anything beyond this because you think that I can't do it all now. I said, now I'm reminding God, I'm in a building program trying to obey you. You know, like when you have a need, I'm trying to preach to you. I'm telling you, the Lord wanted us to spread abroad to the nations of the world, but the enemy came with a spirit of lack, and something hit me, and I prayed about it for several days, and the Lord laid on my heart a message, and I told the director, I said, we're not going in the studio, we're going over, and I got right in this area, right here that I'm preaching to, all of you folks in this main area right here, about where the break is, back there, maybe a little bit down. There were no seats. There was no carpet. There was nothing but a cement floor and some and these big walls, no windows, anything. And I told him to set up those two, and he had extra tape that day. Set up those two, and we filmed a message. And I told the people, I said, I don't know what else to do. We're in a major building program. Our television ministry is not doing what we need to do, and I don't have the money to pay, and I'm not a beggar. I'm not going to beg. I won't be on TV. And I can't promise you a Cadillac if you give to this ministry either. But I said, if God speaks to you and you believe that we should be on TV, I need your help. Help. That's all I said. And do you know, in 30 days, we had never had anything like this happen, $1.3 million. And we bought the cameras that we needed. And I heard the Lord, and I looked in that camera, and I said, God told me that He was going to take the duct tape off of this ministry. And I want to tell you, He did that day, and it has never come back on us for the glory of God. I'm glad that we kept spreading abroad. Come on, somebody. I'm glad we didn't give up. I'm glad that right when I didn't have enough, God had more than enough. And He's telling some of you, don't you let the spirit of lack make you put your head down. If God's given you a vision to spread out and to increase and enlarge, you need to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not telling you something I read in a book. You're sitting in a miracle. This is a story to you. It's a miracle to me because I watched God break duct tape. We went from duct tape level to more than enough, and it's all paid for the glory of God. Every campus you're sitting in, God said, spread out, spread out. And every campus you're sitting in is paid for. We owe no man nothing. Don't tell me God can't do it. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. I don't care what the economy does. You have a God who said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Throw your hands up and praise God that He is your source. He is your source. The spirit of lack will tell you you can't do it, but if God told you you can do it, He's got ways and means committees you wouldn't believe. And you know, the second horn that we encountered was what I'm going to call the spirit of limitation. If the spirit of lack can't stop you, you got to push on through that one. Keep believing God and work hard. And pray for wisdom. But the second thing that we had to break through was the spirit of limitation. The spirit of limitation says, I know God can supply the need, but He won't do it for me. He'll do it for others, but He won't bless me. The spirit of limitation puts a ceiling on your life. You can go this far, but you can't go any further. And I heard a story one time and saw a program one time about an elephant trainer. And he had this huge bull, male elephant with large husk, mighty and strong. And he had a rope, just a rope, around its massive leg. And the rope was tied to a cement block that was about from here to that piano over there. And he said, this trained animal, this massive, strong, powerful elephant will only walk this far. And the moment he feels the tug on his leg of that rope, he could break that rope anytime he wanted to. That could not hold him. He could go in. You ever seen any of those videos, elephants gone wild? And my God, they'll step on cars. They'll run down the street. Nobody's going to get in there and say, I rebuke you. No, it ain't going to happen. He's stronger and he could break loose any moment he wants. But here's what the guy said. He said, the key to it is I trained him when he was little. I got him when he was little, and he said, I put a real chain on his leg, and the chain was connected to a cement block that was encased in the ground. And he said, at first, for days and days, that little elephant would walk, and it would get to the perimeter of how far that chain would let it go. And it would push its leg and kick its leg, and it would run and try to run through it, and it couldn't do it. And he said, there came a moment where mentally that elephant accepted, this is the limit. I'll never go any further than where I am right now. And that is exactly, that second horn is a horn of limitation. But every once in a while, you just start accepting the limitations on life. You start settling. You start saying, well, I've gone this far and, you know, I didn't think I'd get this far. So, and now there's a, you know, it's, I don't think I can go. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I'm capable of that. But every once in a while, you've got to push on the limitations. Faith never settles. God said, spread abroad, not stay where you are comfortable and safe and sure and secure. Every time this ministry has gone to another campus or another ministry, another outreach, something, it was always this feeling of, I could feel the tug of the comfortable, but we had to get to a place where we understood that the Lord, that once we knew the Lord was saying go, you have to push on those limitations. Push on what you're comfortable with. There's no use in trying anymore, Pastor. This is as far as I can go, and I can't go any further. But when you start pushing by the power of the Holy Spirit on those limitations, you know what the man said? He said, that elephant never realized when he's grown and mighty, he's not who he used to be. He's stronger than what he used to be. He's mightier than what he used to be. And when you begin to push on the limitations, you're going to find out that you grow in faith. And I'm so thankful that that when we were on Browns Bridge Road, we did not settle, but we pushed for that sanctuary down the road. And when we were there, we pushed against the limitations and tore the stake up out of the ground and said, we're going to come down here. And then we pushed for Gwinnett and pushed for Orange County and pushed for our Alpharetta and pushed for Midtown. And if I leave anybody out, we push for you too. Hallelujah. We push for prisons. We push for buildings in Israel. We push for souls in 240 nations that we preach the gospel to in their language. Come on, somebody. You got to push on the spirit of limitation. I want to tell you this real quick. So when I did that, I pushed on the limitations and I preached that sermon. One of the first letters that we got was from a 73-year-old woman who sent a letter and she addressed it and said, please get, wrote a little note, please tell that preacher, that little preacher, that I went and got $1,000, God told me to go get $1,000 bill. And tell him I hope he never uses it. I want him to put it on the wall in his office to always remind him that if God tells you to do something, the resources are already there. This is that $1,000 bill. You don't hear me. This is, we still have not used it. Because my God is not El Chifo, He's El Shaddai, and He will provide. And every time I see that in my office on the shelf, I realize nothing is impossible with God. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If you believe it, give Him a praise. Come on, push on the limitations. Push on the spirit of lack. It can't hold you. You know, everything's hard the first time. It's like riding a bicycle's hard. You're going to get some skint knees the first time. But if you keep pushing through the limitation, once you get it, it's easy. Everything, you know, when you first come to a church, it's the first time is the hardest time. And some of you didn't even want to come this morning. Somebody kidnapped you and brought you here and drug you in here. You didn't even want to come. But, you know, and some of you, you came in here and you came from the church with the, called the Church of the Frigidaire. And you had a polar bear in the pulpit and icicles in the pews. And you walked in here and my God, the bass is thumping your heart and the drums and the people in front of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you, the spirit of religion has you so chained up that you can go this far and no further. And you want it. When I sing an old hymn, your toes get to tapping and you can't even hardly get your hand up. I'm telling you, you have to push against the spirit of religion and get free and get liberated and go beyond the limitations of denominations. It's not a Baptist or a Methodist or even a Pentecostal thing. Praise is a Bible thing. Shout amen, somebody. Come on. If you've never praised Him, get on your feet and praise Him. If you're a teenager, praise Him. If you're a man, praise Him. If you're a woman, praise Him. If you've never praised Him, praise Him. You know what you're doing? You're pushing on the limit. That's what you have to do. Let me finish. I'm going to finish this sermon. And I don't need a lot of time. The next 2 points I can say in about 6 sentences. Is this helping anybody? I've come in the spirit of the carpenter. I've come to tell you, you can build it. I know the spirit of lack will try to tell you you can't. I know the spirit of limitation will tell you others could, but you can't, and you better stay where your rope tells you you can go. But nope, we're going to new territory. I see open doors. I see key people coming into your life. I see the favor of God coming on you, and you're going to pull the stake out of the ground, and it's going to be an elephant gone wild. Take a praise break, everybody. Just take a praise break. Praise Him. Doesn't it feel good to praise Him? Here's the other one. This is in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul said, I wanted to come to your city, but Satan hindered me. The third horn, notice that, but Satan hindered us. Come on, Aaron. I used him in the first service, and I said I wasn't going to use him in this service because I didn't think about it when I called him. You stand over there. But I want to tell you what it was like. We started breaking through the spirit of lack. God began to supply our needs. And then we started breaking through the spirit of limitation, that second horn. And then it was like a hindering spirit. And I don't know how to describe it, but Sharice, you'll remember this. And still, to this day, they're hindering spirits. It's like we knew we were had momentum going with us, and we would try to go, and it was like, it wasn't like, now he's big and intimidating. So, but it's not like it was grabbing us and just throwing it, but it's like a trip. It's like a little sucker punch. It's like a little, it's just a hindering spirit. And it's like we would try and we would try. Okay. You go sit down. That's a big devil right there. I'm going to tell you what. His wife said amen real loud in the first service. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, it's uncanny, the hindrance. Even the conference this week, and I don't spiritualize everything. But I had three outlines and had a brand new sermon that I was going to preach for the women's conference. I lost them. They're gone forever. And then I went and was playing pickleball, and I blew my calf out completely. I couldn't even walk. It's like one thing after another, and then there's other things that I can never talk about that you have coming at you. It's hindering spirits, hindering spirits. But I'm here to tell you the enemy can hinder you, but he can't stop you. The enemy can try to, but don't you let it make you put your head down and just say, well, it must not be God's will. No. Press on through the hindrances. All Satan is authorized to do is hinder, not to stop your family from being built back up and you doing what God's called you to do. But here's the other one now. This is the last one. And once you start taking ground, and once you start breaking through, and once you start having the Holy Spirit momentum, the spirit of the carpenter, you're building the kingdom, building the kingdom. And the enemy's hindering, but you put on the whole armor and push him aside and keep going. There's one more spirit that'll come from the back. He's a devouring spirit, according to Malachi. And once you take ground, he comes back and tries to devour the harvest. He's a devouring spirit. And take back the harvest that God has given you. But my Bible said no weapon formed against you, hindering or devouring. Spirit of lack, spirit of limitation. Here comes the spirit of the carpenters. And we're coming to build up what the enemy's tried to destroy in our nation, in our families, in our church, and in our own personal lives. And I feel this thing There are people that are discouraged and your head's been down a long time. But I've come in the spirit of the carpenter to tell you, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. When you have faith in God, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Somebody shout like you believe it. I want you to stand to your feet, and here's what I feel. I got to obey God. I want businessmen. I want businesswomen. I want people in this economy. I feel led to do this. I'm here with the spirit of a carpenter to build up what the enemy's tried to tear down. And I want you to know God's got you. And I want you to know this is a word in season. And I want you to know you're unstoppable. I can do all things. Say it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Turn to somebody and say, blessed, blessed, blessed. Touch them and say, blessed, blessed, blessed. Can I do what I feel? I want to have an altar call for business people. You know what I really feel? Like if you're supposed to build something, maybe it's the real estate market that's gone crazy. Maybe it's the building that's gone crazy. Maybe it's the building industry. Maybe it's other people that are being affected by situations right now. God wants to build you up. It starts with faith. The seed is in you. It starts with faith. And if you know this message is for you and you want, the Lord said, I'm going to anoint you, Jensen, to come in the spirit of the carpenter and break off the spirit of lack, the spirit of limitation, the big spirit of hindrance and discouragement, and the spirit that devours. So if that's you, get out of your seat, whoever you are, and come. God's going to encourage you in this service. This is your service. Come as couples. Come for your business. Come stand in for your family. It's powerful. Come on. 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 We're going to decree some things. We're going to decree some things. Do you know words are multipliers? Do you know, according to Proverbs 18, the power of life and death are in your tongue? That words are multipliers. Whatever you speak multiplies in your life. And I'm speaking in the spirit of the carpenter that God is going to build back up what the enemy has torn down. I speak it over America. In the name of Jesus, rebuild what the enemy has torn down. We need a mighty rebuilding spirit to hit marriages, to hit families, to hit churches, to hit businesses. Many of you believe God can do it. All right, lift up those hands right now and just open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you that you're going to spread me abroad. Hallelujah. I give you my business. Say that. I give you my dreams financially. I give it all to you. I ask you to spread me abroad. If you will bless me, I will help spread the good news all over the world in word and in deed. So, Father, I give you that business. I give you that ministry. I give you that dream. I give you that calling. Oh God, spread it. The enemy's put his horns on me. But I need the spirit of the carpenter to raise me back up to a level of faith again, to believe that the duct tape time is over and God is in control of my life. And God multiplies the bread and the fish. He's my God, the God who wouldn't let the barrel go dry in the famine. He's my God, the God who rolled back the Red Sea, the God who blesses and no man can curse. He's my God. He's my God. Now proclaim it. Open your mouth and say, Lord, I praise you. Remember, words are multipliers. So call him Jehovah Jireh. Call him, I bind the spirit of lack. I break it in the name of Jesus. Breakthroughs. You will spread abroad. I break through the spirit of limitation. Come on, kick that stake up. Break that rope. You're mightier than you were. You're stronger than you think you are. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now worship him with those words. They're multiplying. He'll answer. Who never fails?
Who will never fail?
Now I fail, but he takes my mistakes and turns them into miracles. Tell you one of the most discouraged times I've ever been in. We were in the old sanctuary, and when we first went in the first service, it was packed. When we came back, we got the real number of what we had, and we had the bottom floor full, and we had two wings in that sanctuary. Wings meaning they were pews that went up like that and you walked up them, and then there was a big balcony. It would seat about 1,700 people or so in the old building down the street. And when we got in the service the Sunday after the grand opening, the bottom floor was full, which was great growth for us. We had really grown to fill the bottom floor. And they went halfway up the wings, and all I saw was an empty balcony of empty seats by the hundreds. We kept going along and going along, and for months and months, it filled up and it got to a certain place. And some of you were there, and we had four sections behind the sound guy that hung over a lip of the balcony that just would not fill up. And I found the newsletter the other day in my office. I was crazy back then. I think it was 1993. We used to send out a monthly little thing. Back then you did emails and stuff. I mean, actual mailings. And so I said, we're coming up on the 21-day fast. I believe it was 1993. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it was. And I wrote on there, this is what we're going to fast and pray about for 21 days, that God will fill every one of those empty seats with souls. And I started calling special prayer meetings, and at night after we had fasted, we would go up and sit in those seats, and I had people anointing the seats with oil. And I would go over every Saturday night after I had studied, and I would go in that sanctuary with just a few lights on, and I would sit up in the seats, I would sit up in the balcony, and I would say, Lord, I thank you for an alcoholic that's gonna get delivered that's sitting right here. And Lord, I thank you that right here. Guess what happened? It started filling up, and guess what happened? There was a young man by the name of Javon Ruff who walked in on drugs, his own testimony, on drugs, messed up. He named the drugs he was on when he came to the service. Can you imagine tripping out in a free chapel service? And he got up in the balcony and got gloriously saved and walked down those aisles and got saved. My point is this, the enemy told me, I mean, for weeks and months, I got discouraged when I'd get up in the pulpit. It's like hell was laughing at me, saying, you built this church and you built it too big. You built it too big. I'm so glad I didn't listen to that lying spirit of limitation. I didn't build it too big. We had to build another one and another one and another one and another one. And we're going to build till Jesus comes. But Pastor Javon got saved. He now pastors our Spartanburg campus. And he's one of the greatest preachers on the planet. One of the new voices of the kingdom. Come on, somebody. God knows what he's doing. One more time, throw your hands up and say, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. God, I'm going to push back on what I don't have. You got it. That's why I trust you. You got it. That's why I trust you. You got it. There's more in you, Hamilton. There's more in you, Hamilton. There's more in you, Hamilton. Push. Push. There's more in you. God has a call on you. Throw your hands up and say, give me all that you have for me. This is a service. God is saying, push on limitation. Push. You're not stuck anywhere with God. Even seniors, push on limitation. This could be your greatest season. That's why I trust you. Don't you love it this morning? Praise God, praise God. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust the Lord. Clap your hands and praise him. So we're busting some new territory for God. How many of you believe God has more? Everybody say, spread abroad. Increase. Breakthrough. Growth. In Jesus' name. Raise your hand and receive this blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I feel victory. I feel like, put your hand back down. Watch this. Watch this. There's people in this room that need to get saved, gloriously, wonderfully saved. And we're not going to do it with a bunch of boo-hoo tears today. We're going to do it with smiles and joy. The carpenter has come for you. He's got a hammer and nails, and he's going to rebuild your life that sin has demolished and destroyed. There are some other Javons in this room. There are some other Jeanettes in this room. And the Lord is calling you home this morning. You've wasted enough time in sin. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I know I'm not ready to meet him. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. Pray for me. If that's you, right where you're standing, throw your hand up there and say, I need a Savior this morning. Throw your hand up. There's a hand. Anybody else? There's another, 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 another. At every campus, do it. Keep your hand high, unashamed. There's no shame in smile. Smile about it, because He loves you. He loves you. The carpenter has come. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might be built up and have life more abundant. Now, everybody, if you got your hand raised, just keep it raised. Look around you. If you see somebody with their hand raised, put your hand on their shoulder right now. Say, I'm a carpenter and I'm here to help you. Pray this prayer out loud. Everybody, words are multipliers. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and you rose again. And today I receive your forgiveness. The blood you shed cleanses me, completely washes me from all sin. So build my life back up. Build my strength back up. Break the spirit of limitation, the spirit of lack, the hindering spirit, the devouring spirit. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my deliverer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family. You are forgiven. You are forgiven.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.